I'm going to be in the book of Acts today. We were reading in chapter 19. And God's got a sense of humor. And maybe demons have a sense of humor. Yeshua, I know. Paul, I recognize. Who are you? Second only to Balaam and his donkey. That's probably the funniest passage in Scripture. So I want to talk about all of that today. And first, let's talk about Paul and why the Jewish exorcists were unable to cast this demon out. One of the things about Paul that should be obvious to everybody is Paul radiated authority. Just things that touched his skin transmitted healing. And the thing about Paul, as with the other apostles, is Paul had a personal one-on-one encounter with Yeshua. So Paul had no worldly doubts whatsoever. So he went out there, and as I say, he radiated authority. So he goes, as he normally does, to the synagogue first and reasons with them for 3 months. And those in the synagogue who will believe, Jews and Gentiles, did so, but you had a bunch of Jews that, no, this is not right. And as I've said many times before, Jews are not stupid people. If you would talk to any rabbi today, he would explain to you why Yeshua is not the Messiah. He would do it from Scripture, and he would do a really good job. He would be wrong, but they're not stupid. So when Paul is arguing in the synagogue, there are people who read the Scriptures differently. And as you have had discussions with your friends in the Sunday church, Catholics, Baptists, etc., they all see things differently, and boy, every one of them can go to Scripture and say, this is why what you believe is not right and what I believe is. So that's what's going on with Paul and the Jews. He was casting out demons, and he was healing people, and of course he was speaking with great authority. So what I want to talk about is the first part of this has to do with authority. Because the problem with the Jewish exorcists is a problem of authority. First off, Jewish exorcists, what is that all about? These guys are children of the high priest. So they're believing Jews. They know the Scriptures, I'm assuming. And since they are itinerant exorcists, one assumes that they have some success. If you're going to be an itinerant exorcist and you never cast out a demon, your career is going to be really short-lived. So one can assume that they were successful. And the question becomes, how were they successful? And why were they not successful in this occasion? The first one is, how were they successful? And you have to go back to Genesis 1 to understand that. What God gave humanity was dominion over the earth. He said, you got dominion. Now, when we ate of the toxic fruit, he didn't take that away. We still have dominion over the place, which is why your words have power. So our itinerant exorcists, the sons of Sceva, were using their authority as human beings that they got from God at the creation. That's one of the reasons, by the way, that demons want to get into people, because people have voices and hands, and people can do things under the influence of a demon that the demon wants to accomplish. If the demon could do it by himself, he wouldn't need you. So the idea here is these Jewish exorcists were standing up in their authority as human beings and saying, you get out of here. And it was working, mostly. So, what they do then is they say, wow, look at this guy Paul. He just casts them out willy-nilly. And you all heard the story of the slave girl that was following Paul around and saying, these are the servants of the Most High God, and so forth. And Paul finally just gets annoyed, turns around, slaps the demon out of her, and annoys the people who own the slave because they've lost her spiritual connection. But Paul, just like Yeshua, no big deal. We're not going to burn candles and do incense and have a seance and any of that kind of stuff. We're just going to slap the things out of there and move on. So these Jewish exorcists were saying, wow, this guy's good. He's really good at this. In fact, he's better at it than we are. So what we're going to do is we are going to use his methods because his methods work better than ours do. So they go in and they confront this guy with a demon and they say, all right, by this Jesus who Paul preaches, we tell you to go. And the demon looks at him and says, what? And takes the guy that he's inhabiting and jumps him and beats them all up and throws them out of the house. By the way, the same thing happened where Yeshua cast all of these demons out of that one guy and sent them into the pigs, right? So it said before that happened that this guy was inhabiting the tombs and he was screaming and yelling at night, and they had tried to restrain him and bind him, and he kept breaking chains and he kept beating people up and nobody could master him. So this guy was operating with the strength of a demon because the demon doesn't care what damage he does to the vehicle. You've got limits on how much you can lift because it hurts. So you stop. Demon doesn't care about what your limits are. So the demon will take that vehicle and run it off the cliff. I got somebody I want to beat up. I don't care how much you hurt. I don't care if your fists are bleeding. We're going to keep going. So a demon-possessed person is very often supernaturally strong. So he runs these guys off, and the problem is these Jewish exorcists are trying to use an authority that they have not been given. Paul is using authority that he has been given. That's the difference. So, having said that then, what is this authority? And I will take you to the gospel, starting in Matthew 10. This is where Yeshua calls his 12 disciples. And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority. Gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. So the authority that these guys had was given to them explicitly by Yeshua. Paul was operating in the same authority. These unbelieving Jews did not have that authority. So when they tried to use it, the results are as in Scripture. Now, Paul's dead. What do we do now? Well, there's a passage of Scripture that says that too. John 14:12. This is Yeshua's words. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. That is a delegation of authority. So when you are operating against a demon, and demons are still here, by the way, they haven't gone anywhere, understand that you have the authority that these sons of Sceva did not have because they did not believe in Yeshua. So the idea is these sons of Sceva, Jews, had authority. They had authority as human beings because human beings were given dominion over the place by God himself. So they had been successful exorcists in the past. But what they were trying to do is appropriate an authority that they had not been given. And the demon just looked at him and beat him up and sent him running out of the house. So that's what's going on with the sons of Sceva and why that works. Now, moving on. The next part of the book of Acts here that we read today is when this happened, it spread through Ephesus like wildfire. I mean, you know, that was kind of a spectacle, you know? You got these seven guys running beat up and bloody out of the house. Word spreads. And great fear fell upon the people in Ephesus. And especially great fear fell upon the believers. And what happened was believers came around and said, we still have a Ouija board in our house. In other words, they had believed Paul. They had believed in Yeshua. They were believers, quote unquote. But, you know, still got a Ouija board, and I carry a rabbit's foot around, and, you know, you just can't be too careful. And so when this happened to the sons of Sceva, they all said, whoa, wait a minute, this is serious. They got all that stuff out of their house, 50,000 pieces of silver worth of books. That's seriously afraid. Before Kay and I began to believe seriously, I mean, she always believed seriously, but before I did, when we lived in Washington, there was a hippie lady down the street who was a sculptor. And Kay, for my birthday or anniversary or something, went to her and said, I want a gargoyle. And so this lady crafted this gargoyle out of ceramics, and a beautiful little thing, and we set it on the newel post of our house. You know, come in the door, and there's the stairs going up, and there's a newel post there. We set it right there, house guardian. Just like every cathedral in Europe, right? Just like every cathedral in Europe. We went to Korea. Wow, they got some really neat stuff here. And we bought art pieces in Korea and brought them back. You know, they had a war in Korea, and the United States imported hundreds of thousands of tons of brass, artillery shells, bullet casings. The place is littered with brass that the Americans imported during that war. Well, the Koreans collected it all up and they cast it into bronze and all that kind of stuff. So you could buy bronze castings and figurines and so forth relatively inexpensive. So we bought a candlestick about this high. It's got dragons swirling up inside of it. Really good looking thing. And a bowl about this big around with two dragons on the edge, one looking at the other one, it'd be a gorgeous thing. Well, we finally said, wait a minute, God is serious about this stuff. Well, let's look up what dragons are. Oh, we really don't want dragons in our house. Let's look up what gargoyles are. Oh, we really don't want a gargoyle in our house. We did not sell them. We destroyed them. I had a book from, I don't know when, I don't remember what the name of the book was, but I was going through the library and I saw this book and I says, no. So again, I didn't take it to a used bookstore. Have you ever tried to burn a book? It's hard, but I did it. So the point is, the whole church has got this stuff. They got gargoyles on their buildings. They have got Ouija boards in their youth group. They have got statues, if you will, in the sanctuary. We went down through New Mexico and there's this very, very old Catholic church that we went to. Didn't go to the service. We just, let's go look at this place. Went in there and it was like Idol Central. And both of us just got the creeps because there were icons, there were statues. The whole place was just littered with them. And what Moses is saying today in the Torah portion is, you guys stood at the foot of the mountain. You didn't see any images. All you heard was a voice. Now, Kay and I are listening to a Hillsdale College course on early Christianity. And the professor said something I didn't realize. He says, one of the things that the Greeks and the Romans had against Christians is they thought they were atheists, because they didn't have any statues. Every other serious religion has got statues of their god. You guys don't use any statues or images. We're not so sure you're real believers in any god. So when the gospel hits Ephesus and every place else it hits, it's coming to people whose mindset is, got a god, we got to make a statue. That's just how it's done. And by the way, as I say, the Greek Orthodox Church has got their icons, the Catholic Church has got their statues, and that is because of the collision of the God who revealed himself to the Hebrews with the Greek and Roman world, where the way you do church is you make a statue. Moses in Deuteronomy, Isaiah, everywhere else is, don't do that. Period. And furthermore, get the Ouija board out of your house. So that's what's going on in this Torah portion. And the problem today we have in the world is twofold. And Tom mentioned it years ago. He said, whenever a new church starts, you've got the power of the Holy Spirit there. And you see healings and you see deliverances and all that kind of stuff. And as the church gets older and goes along, that stuff sort of fades out. It becomes routine. And so you've got Paul, who is dripping with authority. Personal encounter with Yeshua knocked him off his ass in the way to Syria. Paul is excited. And so Paul is carrying this authority, and as I say, he just walks along and slaps demons out of people. You have the same authority. What you don't have is the same fervor that Paul has because of his personal encounter. You have that same authority. The problem is, you're in a society where that was 2,000 years ago, and it's like, oh yeah, okay, I believe that. Yeah, okay, I believe that. Yeah, I guess that's true. You don't have the freshness of a new church plant, if you will, where you see all that stuff happen in a new church plant because everybody's enthusiastic and excited, and boy, we're going to get out there and we're going to do this. And after a while, it sort of becomes, oh, routine. I'll pray for you. And that's the problem the church has. In addition to which, our modern church has reasoned away the Torah. So when it says, don't do this, our modern church has figured out, well, that doesn't really apply today. In the Episcopal Church, I used to lead a pig roast. We had a local farmer that raised pigs. We'd get a pig, he'd slaughter it, roast it up, and we'd have a big celebration. I don't do that anymore. In fact, there was a guy I read quoting Chesterton, G.K. Chesterton, who I like a lot, and said, Jesus has overcome everything, to include bacon. Bacon's now okay. He didn't say that, but you have branches of the church that think he did. And again, these are not necessarily stupid or uncaring people. It is the case that, well, Jesus made all foods clean. It means bacon and shrimp and everything else are okay now. But what I'm saying is, in the 2,000 years since Yeshua, all of this stuff has come into the church and is diluted stuff. Just like in the 1,300 years from Sinai to where Yeshua was born, the same thing happened to the Jews. It is absolutely human and absolutely normal. And the last thing in the world that God wants of you is to be normal. God doesn't want you to be normal. Normal is what you're working against. One of the things that Israel said in Samuel is, we want a king so we can be like all the other nations. They specifically said that. God said, all right, stupid idea, but go ahead and let them do it. Because again, the last thing in the world that God wants is for Israel to be normal. He specifically took them out to be abnormal. Same with you. He doesn't want you to be normal. He wants you to be abnormal. He wants you to actually believe this stuff and walk in it. I was in Lowe's, and somehow this guy's telling me his life story. And I finally looked at him and said, would you like me to pray for you? Well, I pray every day. Would you like me to pray for you? Well, I pray for lots of people. Would you like me to pray for you? Well, I've just... looking at his feet and mumbling. I finally says, I'm a pastor. Would you like me to pray for him? Well, I guess okay. So put my hands on him and then I prayed for him. And in fact, I had to return something, went back the next day, and he was much more cheerful. But my point is, he's a believer. I'm a believer. He's got a problem. I've offered to pray for him right there. Well, I mean, what if somebody sees us? When you cast out a demon, don't look at your feet and mumble. Stand up and say, in the name of Yeshua, I'm commanding you to go. Now go. Now. That's what Paul does. Okay? You have that authority. Don't be normal. Be abnormal.